persuasion.
Здесь спрашивают, как это сделать.
Вы должны на экране себя увидеть перевод и выбор языка. И там русская комната. В зависимости, где вы на телефоне или на компьютере, там у вас есть кнопочка такая с переводом. Внизу на экране глобусик. И если с телефона, тоже в меню три точки нажимаете, там будет перевод. И надо попросить тоже Сачинанду Махараджа сделать, перейти на английский язык, чтобы он слушал. Тоже если будете задавать вопросы на русском языке. Hare Krishna, dear Sachinandana Maharaj, please accept our humble obeisances. We have a lot of Russian speaking devotees here. Could you please switch to English room on your screen? When someone asks question in Russian, you would be able to see translation from Russian to English.
Okay, good.
You're on mute now, we cannot hear.
Yes, we are on. We are unmuted. Can you all hear me now acoustically?
Yes, Maharaj.
Oh, hello. Yes. Asaga Maharaj. Wonderful. Wonderful. I feel very honored to address all of you on the subject matter of would you like to become a peacemaker. Let me start by paying my obeisances, saying some good invocatory mantras. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyati Shatarine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It gives me a great pleasure to address all of you, and I think I have something really important to share with everyone on the subject matter of developing peace. First, individual peace, and then collective peace. Many good thinkers have addressed this subject. I will address it in three steps. Recognize, resolve, take action. I think it is very important that people, first of all, recognize the dire need of individual and collective peace. Many people on this call, and also many people who think about peace, have not really a deep understanding what the opposite, what the consequence of not being in peace brings with it. They have not seen the horrors of war and are sometimes so much packed in their own comfort zones that they cannot see it. In my own spiritual tradition, the Vedic or Indic tradition, there's a term called Maya. You see, you don't see the reality, you see something else than reality. So many people, in some sense, are not aware of the dire consequences and the horrors which a non-peaceful life and situation brings. I'm age-wise in the post-war generation. My father would talk at the evening time to all of us about what he had seen in the Second World War. He would tell us terrible stories of battles. He would tell us stories of cannibalism, where people were so hungry that they ate dead human beings, and. But I really never understood what war actually meant and how it felt until I myself was in the midst of a war. It was 1990 or 91 when I was in Slovenia, in Ljubljana, and the Serbian armed forces were invading the town. I gave a lecture to a few hundred people, and I still remember how outside of the lecture hall the bombshells exploded. There was a big window, or the whole wall, one wall was only windows from the top of the roof down to the bottom, so we could all see outside the war raging, soldiers being hit by bullets and going to the ground. And when the bombshells exploded and the windows, window glass broke, we all could feel the impact on our nervous system of bombs exploding. I was in the midst of a war, which I was not fighting. It felt terrible. I could see before my eyes the pain which the wounds brought about. I could see in my eyes the anxieties when near and dear ones in the family got separated, when the son went to war and never came back. I could see the uncertainties of people. The question, where will they get simple things like food from? And I could see how absolutely necessary it is to avoid such catastrophes. So, in my mind, I think if we speak of becoming a peacemaker, we first need to recognize what are the problems with war, and what war does to an individual. It usually brings out the worst in the human condition. I would now go to my second point, resolve, make a determination to become a peacemaker. If you want to make such a determination, I personally think two things are important. First of all, it's important to understand that peace really starts in the human heart. We need to be aware that we need to plant the seed of peace into the fertile ground of our hearts. From there, if we cultivate the seed, it can grow, just like a seed can grow into a tree. Individual peace, which starts in the heart, can grow into peace in the families, or peace with near and dear ones. Then it can grow a little bit more into communal peace. Then it can grow even into national peace. And then it can grow into international peace. But it's important that just like a seed starts in a very small location, peace must start in the individual heart. And from there, it can grow everywhere, like a tree with branches extending outwards and outward and outward until the whole planet Earth, that's the idealistic hope, is surrounded with the tree of peace. Violence also starts from a seed. It starts in a subjective field, the field of the human heart. Hatred starts there, anger starts there, the inability to forgive others starts there. You can see it in your own life as you go through your life. You can see how sometimes the seeds of non-peace, of violence, or intolerance of others is there. And if you're critical, and a critical observer, you will honestly admit, there's some work to be done. It is very important when you lose your peace inside, the people who are around you will feel it. The community in which you are will feel it, and it will become influenced very quickly. And there's one psychological fact. Negative things, negative emotions are often stronger and they often last longer than positive ones. Look at a day, a typical day. There may be many nice things which happen, but you may have one meeting with a person who hurts you. You may have one meeting where you hear bad words, and it is these things which you take with you to bed. These things which stay longer. These things that influence longer. Therefore, let us not be an illusion. To develop a peaceful attitude, you need to be more courageous. You need to be more intelligent. You need to be more persistent in this world. You need to make an effort to become a peacemaker. Obviously, it is true that all of us have different circles of influence. If we are a big religious leader, we may have a following of a few thousand or 10,000 or sometimes millions. So when we talk about peace, we reach more people. Others have a smaller circle of influence. Maybe some of us have only their close friends which they can influence, or our families which we can influence. However, whether your circle of influence is large or small, there is the same principle working. Peace starts in the heart. And then it spreads. I would like to give you an example of this from the recent German history. I think you remember Germany was divided into Eastern and Western Germany, and there was a big wall separating the two with what is called a death stripe. Anyone who wanted to flee East Germany and run into West Germany would have to cross the death stripe, where there were dogs, watchtowers, mines, and other things which would bring immediately the death to those who tried to escape. This was a very heavy border. It was not a normal border. It was a highly guarded border. But still it broke down because of this principle. Peace or unity starts in the individual heart. People in East Germany started to speak about making one country and getting rid of the border with the death stripe. They started to influence those who were close to them, the friends and family members. It spread into communities so that one day, finally, in Leipzig, so many people met on the marketplace. Maybe 10,000 people. I know for Russia 10,000 is nothing. 10,000 is like the family. But they started to talk. It spread all over the country so that finally the borders were torn down and people mingled and could walk back and forth. I remember I was there with a few monks when the Berlin Wall fell. I had been traveling to East Germany before, so when the wall fell, I walked through the wall with I think 15 monks or so, and we sang our world famous peace song at that time, and it was picked up by many other people. So this is an example how you first need to see it, to sow the seed, and then it can spread. Of course, it is good if there is political will and political power, but this may not be in the influence of all of us. I think there are a few politicians who are viewing this, but most of us who are taking part in this peace conference today may not be politicians in high power. So for us, political will is something which is far away, but therefore I'm giving something very practical. Sow the seed of peace in your heart. Talk about it and it will spread, just like a tree which grows branches that are very, very far-reaching. In our society, we have such a resolve to become agents of peace. There are seven purposes of our spiritual society. And the first is to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalances of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. So this was something on the second point. The first point was recognize the need of peace. The second point was resolve to become a peacemaker, an agent of peace, and be happy to and know that you have to work within your circle of influence. I would like to end this presentation with the third point, that is, take action. When I was a young person, I was very much interested in the idea of peace. Like my generation, the post-war generation, we were sure we never ever wanted to have a war again, and we would demonstrate on the streets to make our voice heard. It was during this time that I met the monks of the tradition in which I'm now practicing my spiritual life, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Shortly after meeting them, I read an article which had been written by my spiritual master. It is called The Peace Formula. And there, my teacher gave three points how we could develop inner peace, and then eventually world peace. He said, we should understand first of all that God is the ultimate goal of all of our activities. It's not money that is the ultimate goal, not the fame to become well known, but it is God, which is the ultimate goal of all our activities, and love of God that extends to all beings. This second point of the peace formula is that Lord is, or God is present everywhere, in all countries, in all cultures, even in all planets of the universe. And he owns everything. And the last part of the peace formula is to become aware that the Lord is the friend of all living beings. This is not a hateful God, not a distant God, but a very close and loving God who's residing right in the hearts of everyone. Did you know in your heart you can make a temple and invite the Lord to be present there? But even if you don't invite him, even if you don't make a temple, he is already there, and he waits and reciprocates to whatever we are doing, and whatever we are wanting, and whatever we are praying for. So these are the three points which are necessary to understand before you take action. He's the ultimate goal. God is the ultimate goal of all of our activities, sacrifices, and so on. He's present everywhere in the creation, on all planets, in all cultures also. It's a little bit like Rumi says, all the religions sing really only one song in many different languages. Same song in many different translations. So, and the final thing is, know that he is right there in the hearts of everyone. My dear listeners, we are talking about a practical action plan that can be done. I was thinking about this a long, long time and then resolved to do something which I call the Compassion Tuesday. Every Tuesday, it will be tomorrow again, I do a guided meditation which is available on in the internet, where we build a group of where a group of people sends out prayers for others, where a group of people sends out compassion to others. It is every day where we do the every Tuesday where we do the compassion meditation. Tuesday is a good day for this because on Tuesdays there is a very auspicious influence by a particular deity, the deity of peace, who is there. And today I would like to guide you in the, such a small little meditation. Please don't think this is impractical. I will just ask my assistant to go over to my writing desk. There should be the compassion meditation. It's in one of the maybe there, here, I can see it. But before we start, I would love to show you and how this is extremely practical. Oops. I'm just drawing something for you. Here it is. Let me see. Yes. This is a big circle. It's the circle of concern. In this, it's the things which we think about. The weather, for instance, the world situation, or the pandemic. These are things which we don't have an influence on. I can't influence the weather. I can't so much directly influence the world situation. And I can indirectly do it. I can't influence the pandemic as an individual. Now within this circle of concern, there is my circle of influence. It is my decisions, my activities that I do, the words which I speak. I have an influence on this. Now, my dear people, there it is shown that if you I'm mostly thinking about here, how is the weather, how is the world situation, the pandemic. You will only be frustrated and bitter because you have no influence on it. But if you work on the things which are in your influence, your daily decisions, your what you daily speak, and your words, you will see something amazing happen. It is amazing. It is your circle of influence will widen and become bigger and bigger and bigger, almost like a spiral. Here, like this. You see? more. Stop complaining about the world which is not peaceful. This will not change anything. Become an agent of peace in your heart first, in your little circle of influence, your friends, your family, and this will spread to your community and so on. Therefore, my dear listeners, it is so important to meditate about peace, to think about how you can help, to send compassion to those who are suffering, and then the world atmosphere will change. I would like to guide you now in a small little compassion meditation. Please sit comfortable. Triloki Sundari, sit straight. Yes, I fast, Inter Salima, good. Kishori Rani, Alexander, Saga Swami, please sit straight. Comfortable position. Let your hands rest on the knees. And relax your shoulders, your upper body, and gradually your legs, just let us appreciate that we all are already experts in relaxation. When we go to bed each night, all our muscles relax. So we also now relax. Now take 5 deep, audible breaths. In through the nose and out through the mouth. Now I request you to breathe in your heart space. Direct your attention when you breathe to the heart. It is here where you are, the self. And this is the address of God in the human body, there inside the heart. Remain in that inner space and think of one person or two persons or a group of persons who need inner peace. Who need compassion, who need well wishes so that their illness or anxieties can go. Think of one, two, or group of persons who need compassion. Just like me, people of this world are seeking happiness. Just like me, people of this world are trying to avoid suffering. Just like me, the people of the world have known suffering, sadness, and despair. Just like me, people of this world are learning about life. Please remain in this meditative space. And now send your prayers, your well wishes, your compassion to one person, two persons, or your chosen group of persons. You may now rub your hands like this. Bring them to your eyes. And then bring your hands away from the eyes. And look into the lines as if you're seeing them for the first time. My dear everyone, this is how you can sow the seed of peace and the seed of compassion into your own heart. Then, when you meet people, speak peaceful words. And do peaceful or compassionate actions. And in this way, from the seed, a huge tree which branches, the branch throughout the whole world will extend. This is not impractical. This is very practical. And as more and more people become influenced with this idea, the political decision makers will automatically see, wow, here is a good number of people who think about peace, and they will put it in their talks. It will enter the medias. The seed of peace will spread through social medias, and in this way the tree of peace will grow and grow and grow. I thank you very much for listening. I want to now ask you to see your questions, to ask your questions. Maybe I should turn to our host, because there was some translation issue. Maybe it is really best if the host goes into the chat room and finds the question and then translates the question for me, and then I can answer it. That makes it very simple. I'm waiting now. At the moment there is no reaction, but I think I saw the host earlier. You gave me some instructions. Oh, here's Sagar Maharaj. You can maybe help how we should conduct the question answer session. What is your suggestion?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much. Wonderful meditation. I think the most practical thing would be to have questions in the chat box, and maybe I could translate those.
Please, please. Maybe you tell in Russian that everyone can put the questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Дорогие друзья, пожалуйста, пишите свои вопросы. Напишите свои вопросы в чате, и мы их переведем. So there is one question from Victoria. Thank you very much for the meditation. How can we practically broaden our hearts and consciousness so that we won't be happy with peace for ourselves and our relatives only, but include other people?
Everything which you want to develop needs a practice. To develop an all-inclusive idea of peace, you need to widen your circle of peace. I will give you an example. You can first act in a beneficial way towards yourself. You can be a little bit more conscious. You can watch what you eat. You can, for instance, take to a vegetarian diet, which I think you do. Then you can act in a nice way in your family or amongst your friends, especially when they are not peaceful, when they are not nice to you, when they are slightly difficult even, then you can train yourself to still think, what are beneficial words, what are beneficial activities. And as you practice compassion in your thoughts, in your words, and in your activities, you will see how your circle widens. I remember a story of a saint. It is the saint who has become, who is my teacher, my spiritual master. His name is Srila Prabhupada, and once he was sitting in Vrindavan on a table where he was translating his books from the Sanskrit language into the English language. And there were a few ants on his table. And one of his servants came and wanted to, you know, wipe the ants away, you know, he took a cloth. But Srila Prabhupada stopped his servant and said, "The ant was here before. I came after. He has the first right. He should be there." This is compassion which has and peace which has extended to all creatures. But it came because Prabhupada has practiced spiritual life and was aware of the need of compassion. He said once that I became like this because of my own spiritual master who taught me these things. It's a practice. And it starts from a small circle and it will expand. Don't try to take too big, it's a project which is too big for you. Start with your neighbors. When the neighbors are there, you know, go there. When you go shopping, you can shop something for them so that they don't need to go there. Greet people whom you meet when you talk, and gradually you will come to offer your compassion and your good wishes and your peaceful nature, not only to yourself and your family, but to the whole of human society. It's a practice, in other words. Practice peace in your thoughts, in your words, and in your actions. And let it grow, let it grow. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. I think the second question is tied to the first one, logically, especially to your answer, because Lilia is asking, is it compulsory to practice religion for spiritual advancement?
Nowadays, there is a lot of talk about non-religious spirituality, no? That is, spiritual practices like meditation, kindness towards others, without following a particular religious orientation like Christianity, Hinduism, and so on. You can certainly go without a particular religious orientation into areas like meditation. There are many people who are very kind, but I think a genuine spirituality will help you to go further, much further than you can go, because the laws of spirituality are not are seeing the equality of all living beings, seeing that they are part of the same God. And then all of a sudden, these good qualities, they will move into highly religious area. So yes, in the beginning you can practice spirituality without any particular orientation and so on. But if you want to go very far, I think you do need a spiritual practice in a tradition, in a spiritual tradition. You can see by my answer that I'm answering very carefully, because in my mind, genuine spirituality means worship of God. Genuine spirituality worship means seeing the equality of all living beings. But genuine spirituality is not bound to any particular tradition. It is universal. It can be found everywhere. So I think genuine spirituality transcends ordinary religiosity, but it also is focused on the one God. I hope this is clear. Maybe Sagar Maharaj, I think you might like to add something to this point. Please give your insights also on this question.
Thank you, Maharaj. I think your answer is really brilliant, that as you explained, the spirituality is the essence of all the religion, in the same way as you have product and you have a package. So religion is the package, but spirituality is the product. Or as one of our members said, that religion is a cup and there are different cups, but the water is spiritual essence. And cups can be of different shapes and forms, but the water is the same, which is the nourishing substance. So thank you for your deep answer.
Wonderful, wonderful answer. Yes, yes, yes. There is an old Indian story. It goes like this. There is a crystal clear river. It has crystal clear river water. And then on the banks, on the side of the river, there are many religions. They have their tables. They put the water into their own plastic bottles, and they sell the water. This is Christian water, this is Muslim water, this is Hindu water, but the water was there before the plastic bottles, and if the plastic bottles have any value, it's because the water of the river is in there. So you have I felt inspired when you talked so nicely about, yes, the spirituality is the essence, and religions are often the packaging, the thing around it. Thank you very much. Okay, the next question.
Thank you, Maharaj. So the next question is from Tamara, and she's asking, how can we see God in the hearts of others?
You need to learn the art of looking two times. When you first look, you see the body, the hair, you see someone is a man, someone is a woman. But if you look the second time, you see, wow, inside there is a living being, a living entity who is a part of God. This looking two times is explained in the Latin word respect. Respect comes from respectare. Spectare means to look, and re means to look again. So respect or respectare means to look again, not just one time, but a second time also. That is an art you have to learn. You can start immediately today in the evening when you take your dinner with your friends. Do it. It's a beautiful exercise. You look first and you see them sitting down at the table. Some of your friends are dressed in a red shirt, others in a blue shirt maybe, or a green shirt. So that is what you see when you look once. But when you look the second time with respect, respectare, then you see, wow, he is a living being. Wow, he's living just like me. Wow, he is a person who learns in life just like me. He is a person who wants to avoid suffering just like me. Here is a soul, a living being in the heart, just like me. And then it will be very easy to also see that this person, this spiritual person, is a part of God. It belongs to God. It is a divine child of eternity. But you need to practice. Look two times or even three times, and then you will see.
Wow, that's amazing explanation of the word respect. I never could imagine. Thank you, Maharaj. So the next question is from Natalia, and she's asking, where can I get the will or strength to become a peacemaker? Because so many people, including myself, are deficient in so many ways. And so how can I start acting out of the abundance mentality rather than scarcity mentality?
This is again a very nice question. I must really congratulate all of you who are in this call for your very good questions. When I was, I had catched corona 2 months ago. It was a mild version, but nevertheless, I had to stop my usual activities. I had to take a lot of rest and had to do many things to strengthen my immunity system. And at that time, I felt physically very weak. I understood if I want to be strong, I need to practice something. So I every day take a walk, and there is a bench, and I was putting my hand on the bench and making push-ups. In the beginning, I could do two. Then I could do five. Now I can do 15. Maybe today when I walk, I will do 16 and a half. What I want to illustrate with this example is that, yes, in the beginning when we start things like trying to be peaceful, we lack the strength. Mahatma Gandhi said it takes more courage to choose to be peaceful than to choose to be violent. Nicely, yes, nicely said it, isn't it? It takes some inner strength to be peaceful when someone hurts you or someone is behaving not in a nice way. It is much easier that you say, that you begin to speak a strong word, you rascal, you bad person. Or it's much easier if you lose your temper. But to then remain peaceful, to keep your mind controlled, takes greater inner strength, greater courage. So let us not be in illusion. Just like a person who's weak needs to regularly exercise so that he gets strong, the peacemaker needs to also regularly exercise. And it starts here. Here's where your exercise starts. You go into the world. You have an interaction with someone, a talk, or you are buying something at the supermarket. You have some relationship with someone. Try to then make this meeting the best meeting possible. Or as His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, the founder of the IFAST Institute, said, when you meet a person, then you should be in the frame of mind that you feel the quality of this interaction, of what happens in the relationship, is entirely my responsibility. I will take responsibility for this interaction. And this is a very good exercise. Most of us are trained in the complaining mood, or in the fault-finding mood, or in the criticizing mood. Because you said this bad thing to me, therefore I'm angry. Oh, because you mistreated me, I will not be your friend. And so on. But a true peacemaker tries to exercise by taking the responsibility away from everything and everyone and putting it entirely to himself or herself. And then you will become very strong. You will become very influential. You will become a true leader. And my point is, because this is a universal principle, every single person can do it wherever they are placed in their life. If they are influential to many people, or if their circle of influence is slightly smaller. These are not theoretical concepts. I'm leaving all of you with some homeworks. Exercise, compassion, and tolerance, starting from this evening.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. I think this is brilliant to widen your circle of influence with taking more responsibility. Another question is just out of curiosity. Anna is asking that you requested us to look at the lines on our palms, and she was wondering what is the purpose of that, looking at the lines.
Yes. There are two purposes. When someone really takes part in the meditational exercise, they tend to be inside. Their attention is inside. So by asking people after the meditation to look into their lines of the hands, their attention, which has been inside, now again comes outside, so that they can practically operate in the world. It is a technique which meditational teachers use to help people to come out of the inner space back into the space where they usually operate in their lives. Another reason is when you have done meditation, you are usually more aware, more conscious. You can your perception has grown, and that's for many of us when we see that by looking into our hands and that, and thinking, oh, I never looked into the lines of my hands. I never did this, but now I see I have lines in the hands. You become more conscious, and your faith in meditation is helping you to grow internally. Grows. It's an experience which you make. Two reasons. To bring people into normal consciousness again, where they operate, and second, to help them to just become more conscious in life.
Wonderful. Do we have much more time? Because we have quite a few more questions for us.
Yes, we do have more time. And at the end, I will ask my guest, Malika Mala, to speak after some time. Malika Mala, she will also address you. Yes, please, let us ask some more questions.
Sure. So next question is from Natalia, and she's asking how to pacify the agitated mind so that we could feel peace in the heart at the time of conflict.
The agitated mind is, or let us say like this, the mind is compared often with a lake. When there are upsetting things, like you mentioned conflict, waves start to build on the surface of the mind. And we feel upset, we feel disturbed, we feel anxious. To pacify the mind or the waves of the mind, there are few things you can do. The first is to widen your perspective. To see, wow, this is a temporary situation. It comes and it goes. It is not for a long time here. You widen your perspective. It's called you reframe everything, and it looks totally different after some time. The problem doesn't look so big any longer. Especially when you do, when you come to the realization, I'm an eternal soul, I'm part of God. Where is the problem now? Problems disappear when you think in this way. They are no longer there. When you have something very big, the small thing looks very small. But if you have only a small thing there and nothing to compare it with, nothing to reframe it with, then even a small thing looks very, very, very big. There is a Persian poem. It says, I was very disturbed when I came out of the mosque and my shoes were stolen. but then I saw the person who had no feet, and I was not disturbed any longer. It's called reframing the mind. When you are in conflict, therefore, do this little technique. Step a little bit back into the role of the observer. See everything more or less like the mobile telephone, your camera would see everything. When the camera, photo camera, looks at something, it's just an observer. It has no judgment, it has no reaction, it has no problem. It just takes in what is happening. So in the same way, you can go into the observer role. I will show you. Now, I'm giving a lecture, right? I'm talking. I'm seeing before me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 small windows in the gallery. I'm trying to say something nice. But I can now move into the observer role. It's almost like stepping out of the situation, stepping out of the frame, and looking at me. Oh, here you are, Satchinandan Swami. You are trying, it's interesting. You are seeing 6 pictures on the gallery. You are trying to say something in a nice way. Oh, yes, I want to give you a tip now. Don't talk so fast. Talk more peaceful. Now I'm back in the call. I have observed myself in the situation, but I went into the observer role and watched how everything is going, and I gave myself a good tip to speak more peaceful and more different. This point is maybe one of the most valuable points for your emotional balance. Reframe. Go into the neutral observer position. Just like this camera, the camera of Gaur Krishna, like this. It doesn't judge, it only observes. In the same way, when there's a conflict, don't judge, only observe. You would think, oh, how interesting, this person is a little upset. Oh, I see, my mind is also getting upset, but I don't need to become upset. To practice, I am not this body. To practice, I am not this mind, means to step back into the observer position. That is the practice, where you don't react to the stimuli that come from the world.
Well, amazing. Ability to give advice to yourself, that's brilliant. Julia is asking, how should the members of different family, of the same family, behave if they are quarreling on political grounds? Part of my family has one political stand and the other part the other. How do we behave ourselves? Because everyone has their own, you know, truth, so to say, and everyone is ready to defend it till the end.
What I have seen is that very often the qualities which a person develop speak louder than words. When people of different political opinions are there defending their own opinions, and they see that there's someone who's peaceful, who's content, who's joyful, they will say, what do you think? What is your secret? Why are you like this? And this will give you a very nice result. I have seen qualities speaking louder than words. I want to give you an example. Once someone said to me that his wife is practicing yoga. Whenever she comes home and the dog, after doing yoga exercises, and the dog is before the house door, she kicks the dog. And this man said to me, I'm not so convinced of yoga because the qualities of my wife are not different from anyone else. So we become convinced by people's qualities more than we become convinced by their political opinions. You can sometimes see people in religious movements having very bad qualities, quarreling. And you can see people outside of religious movements having very helpful qualities. Very often we tend then to think, dear religious man, religious woman, practice, practice, practice. Then only we will be inclined to listen to you further. So qualities are important, and qualities is something which only we can influence. Only you can choose to say the right words. Only you can choose to say, to think the right thoughts. Only you can influence yourself to act properly. And this goes very long. There's an old saying. It says, I'm sorry, what you are speaks so loud to me that I can't hear what you say. What you are speaks so loud to me that I just can't hear what you say. How true. Because we as human beings become influenced by qualities. So again, I come back to my point. There may be political, various political opinions, but you can qualify yourself by developing good qualities. This is also said in the scriptures of the Vaishnavas. They say, the true meaning of religion can be seen in the quality of the Vaishnavas, those who practice it. That's the true meaning, not the words, not the theory, but the qualities like humility, compassion, love. Then you can see that that is the important thing.
Thank you, Maharaj. So next question is, actually there is a lot of appreciation. Appreciation shared on the chat as well, that Ellen is saying that it's a wonderful meeting. I feel that the warmth comes right into my heart. I feel very peaceful and blissful and very grateful for this meeting. So Victoria is asking, she's also thanking you for the wonderful meeting, and she's asking, how can I manage my anger so that I wouldn't just suppress it and I wouldn't have to hurt others? How to balance it out?
Yeah, like any other emotion, anger is a certain energy, no? It's a wave, a vritti it's called, which has a certain energy as it spreads. And like all energies, you have to see where to direct it. In one direction it can create harm, in another direction, it can be positive. If you are a person who is a little angry, you should take this energy to advocate truth, to put to not in an angry way, like a fanatic, but in a way where you stand up for the truth. No, and that is will be very a good use of the energy. When I was a young man, I was for some time in a very aggressive neighborhood, and I needed to learn some techniques to defend myself. And I found out that there is one technique where you take the aggressive energy of an opponent and you just and you don't resist this by hitting back, but by taking the energy which comes and pulling it, and then the opponent is running or flying or moving in a natural way away. You don't hurt him in any way. So anger, like all emotions, strong emotions, have a strong energy to themselves. Let this not hurt yourself. Let it not kill yourself. To think when I'm angry, I am not hurting myself, but hurting only the other person, is as foolish as to think by drinking a glass of poison, I will not be hurt, but another person is hurt. When I drink poison, will your neighbor be hurt? No. When I drink the poison of anger, will your neighbor have a bad have some effect? No. You will have the effect. So, anger is the most self-destructive force for any conscious person, and you need to direct it in a proper way. To stand up for the truth, to spread spiritual knowledge, to spread things. For that you need a lot of energy, a lot of outgoing energy that you can use like this. But never ever become angry towards someone or anything. It hurts only you, it doesn't affect the other.
I suspect that when you were explaining the defense techniques, you were speaking about Aikido, Maharaj?
Yes.
And if I could add, within our tradition of Bhakti Yoga, we have one element which helps to eliminate unnecessary, uncontrolled anger. And that is actually in yoga is known as child's pose. And in traditional yoga, it's called Balasana or Shashankasana. And it very much resembles bowing down. And if we stay in this bow down condition for a few minutes, that really helps to balance out the production of adrenaline, which is responsible for either anger, fear, or depression. If our adrenaline is in normal state, we become very much equipoised.
Wonderful. Wonderful point. I'm so much enjoying your comments, Maharaj, really, honestly. Yes, our Sagar Maharaj speaks of the science of how body language influences moods. Huh? There are studies about this, that there was, especially in Japan, There's a lot of anxiety, stress, examination stress. So they found out by smiling that the stress goes down. And listen to this. The experiments were like this. People put just a pen in their mouth so that the mouth would open as if in smile. The result was that there was a production of serotonin makes for happiness, and they lost their stress. And the same as when you are dancing like this, you can't be angry, you know. It's just not possible. The body language influences us. We usually think it's the other way around. First I must be happy, then I can dance like this. Or first I must be happy, then I can smile. No, but it works the other way around. When you put the smile, even by an artificial means, then it has its effect. So therefore, the child pose, or balasan, is very good to immediately put good water on the fire of anger and extinguish it. My dear everyone, I'm thinking now, we have 4:30, and I really wish all of you to see again our Malika Mala. She is our dear guest here, and with your permission, I will go, but before I will ask her to come and address all of you, I would very much like to, I think Malika Mala, you better take this, and you can put it where the scarf is. I would very much like to say it was, no, oh, sorry. Yeah, I very much would like to say it was a genuine pleasure to be with all of you. I so much enjoyed really your comment and your fast brain, Maharaj. And I'm seeing a few of you only, but it was such a, by the questions I could see, you were really thinking about the subject matter. And I wish you all the best in your work as the IFAST, and all of you on the call, please find out more what is IFAST. Maybe Malati Mala will tell us a little bit how they can be informed about IFAST and so on. So I wish all of you the best, and please do not forget the idea of this, the drawing, that by first working in your circle of influence, becoming, sowing the seed in your own heart, you will be able to become an agent of change. I thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful rest of the day, and I will turn over the microphone now to Malati Mala. All the best. Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Careful, please.
Yeah, Maharaj. Ой-ой-ой, простите, пожалуйста. Спасибо большое, thank you very much. Я очень счастлива, спасибо большое всем, кто к нам присоединился, к нашей сегодняшней трансляции. И я очень надеюсь, что оставшиеся встречи, которые нам предстоят еще,